the places of the Passion. Let us pray. O God, the Shepherd and Ruler of all the faithful, look mercifully down on thy servant Benedict, whom thou hast chosen to be the Shepherd of thy Church. Grant, we beseech thee, that he may, both by word and example, benefit those whom he governs, that together with the flock entrusted to his care, he may come to life everlasting. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, who in the unity of the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth with thee, world without end. Amen. Amen. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, beginning at verse 54. Then they seized Jesus and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then, about an hour later, still another kept insisting, "Surely this man was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "I do not know what you are talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. The places of the Passion. Gallicanto. Nightmares have a quality all their own. In them, the known parameters of reason and the order of the brain are overwhelmed as the familiar descends first into the unknown and then into the unthinkable. Time is topsy-turvy. Days condense into minutes, and minutes last for hours. A friend turns out to be a deceiver. The indifferent resolve into hostility, and a dark and fatal threat pursues our ever-tiring legs, and there is no escape. The brain screams orders to a silent mouth. This cannot be happening. Then, at the moment of the greatest peril, our consciousness reasserts its old regime, and we lay panting in the dark. Relief pushes back the frontiers of terror. But from the waking nightmare, there is no such release. Where had it all begun to unravel? You can stand there now for yourself. As the road runs downhill from the cenacle, there is a hairpin bend which brings the traveller on the south side of Jerusalem on to the long arc up to the Dung Gate. There, on the straightening of the bend, is the modern Assumptionist Church of St. Peter in Gallicanto. The name means cockcrow, and among the endless souvenirs a traveller can buy t-shirts with the most glorious cockerels ever committed to cloth. The modern Galikanto stands on the site of the ancient Byzantine church built to commemorate St. Peter's tears as the pre-dawn crow of the farmyard's own alarm clock recalled our Lord's hotly disputed prophecy. Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And Jesus turned and looked at Peter. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. The sleepers in the garden, those who could not watch 1 hour, were now painfully awake. Hour by hour, their world disintegrated in the cold night air and dampness of pre-dawn Jerusalem. Half heard, half seen, politics behind closed doors, high priest, king, governor, barracks, the heaving streets, and the winding road to the Calvary. The circus of cruelty, culminating in the cross of Christ, had begun its switchback ride across the city. Can it only have been a few days since the disciples had been fiercely disputing who would sit on the right and left hand of this man's throne? The Messiah, the King of Israel, the restoration, the freedom of Zion, all that they had worked for, unstitching before their very eyes as the powers civil and ecclesiastical conspired to consign their dreams to dust. What a martyr must learn, and what he will have to face in his bleakest moments too, is that he cannot do anything else but bear witness to the truth. Whatever the cost, and whether there be reward in this life or in the life to come, he can do no other. As the old prayer has it, and not to seek any reward, save that of knowing that we do thy will. Day by day, Jesus taught in the temple. Yet it is here, in the disturbed serenity, the hidden agony of Gethsemane, that the armed mob has come to take him. He has forbidden Peter to fight. To die with sword in his hand, Peter could have managed, but not this. It was but a few short days since the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The crowds, the palms, the excitement, the tumult in the city. Matthew tells us the city was in uproar. Was there the same sense of excitement, panic, anticipation, fear, and longing over 30 years before, when 3 eastern kings made bold to the palace to inquire the whereabouts of the newborn king? Most of that crowd of half a lifetime ago would be in their graves. The crowd from the Sunday we call Palm, who would on the morrow throng the streets again, were at this unholy hour still in their beds. Here in the courtyard outside the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, Peter waited. Like the others, he had fled Gethsemane. Then he had followed at a distance. Then he had mingled with the guards, waiting to see what happened. He could not have known how swift and terrible the injustice would be. The night trial, the abduction, the witness procedure, the physical assaults, all contrary to the law, all performed by the guardians of the law, all in contempt of the laws of God and of man. But he must have sensed the growing threat too. The courage that raised the sword in Gethsemane, the valour of hot blood and threat, evaporated under the clinical gaze of a ruthless establishment. And then came the collapse, not in the face of torture or prison, but to the simple probing questioning of a servant girl. "You were with Jesus. I don't know what you were talking about." "He was with Jesus. I swear, I don't know the man." In a moment, Peter's word was given. Given himself to such a lie, and to what end? The men then executed the coup de grâce. "Of course you're one of them. Your accent gives you away." Poor Peter. Such a pointless denial. His broad northern accent stood out like a Yorkshire miner at a dinner party in Dorking. The cock crew. Jesus looked at Peter, and Peter remembered. He went out and wept bitterly. The steps down from Galicantu are still there, but the tears have dried. The Gospels do not flinch from telling us even the most unpalatable details about the greatest followers of Christ. And that is the hallmark of truth. It is how we human beings are. The Gospel is about real people. Or else, what good would it be for us? To encourage us in our weakness? Maybe. To rejoice in the restoration of Peter on the resurrection shoreline in Galilee? Certainly. To come back to Jesus when we had denied him by what we do and say and are. To weep and to answer his simple question, "Do you love me?" The tears on these ancient steps are the key for all who will hold the keys. Somewhere between Galicantu and the shoreline encounter with the risen Lord, Peter began the final journey to become the Prince of Apostles, the man who would travel to the heart of the alien empire and, preaching Christ, would end his life fearlessly, hanging upside down upon another cross.